Yes. Ain't no stopping us now. McFadden and Whitehead. I know you don't remember this, Nate Dogg, because this
is
before your
time. But the guy, did you say Whitehead?
Yes. Yeah, McFadden and Whitehead.
What is he, a pimple?
They're from, no. This is from, that was his last name. This is from Philly. The group's from Philadelphia,
yes.
I'm pretty sure. And I worked down in Philly, covered the Eagles many, many years ago. So the Eagles, when they were in their Super Bowl mode, you know how obviously Bernie, all the songs that you convert into songs for your
sure.
football teams. So the Eagles song became "Ain't No Stopping Us Now." The Eagles got the groove. The Eagles, you know, whatever it was, and heading to the Super Bowl. You know, they worked those lyrics. Let this play a little bit. It's marinated.
Let it marinate, notorious.
This is good stuff. I'm telling you, this is a 70s classic. And again, I know, and you know what we want to do on the show sometimes is convert our younger listeners, like
yeah,
Megan.
So the merits of music.
Right?
See, I'm not,
the history,
it's funny,
richness.
I'm not big on 70s music, but I'll go 60s. I'll go with the Doors and Jimmy all day long.
But there's some really great stuff in the 70s, too.
Yes. People in the 70s were on Quaaludes. They don't know what's going on.
Right, which is why the music was so good. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. They'd go, hey, let's record. Did we record that?
Did that just happen?
Did that just happen? Those folks in the 70s. That's right. I remember how those people behaved. Dave DiNatale.
Like a pretty good time.
It was a great time, wasn't it, Vic?
It was a wonderful time. Yes, it was. What I remember of it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Ready for some forecast?
Is it Friday forecast
it
time?
It is.
Time.
It is. All right. Here we go. Number 4. Getting up 4 here for you guys here for today before we get to Todd Archer at the bottom of the hour. Vic, this is really more, I think, for you because you're going to be there, but who from the Senior Bowl or at the Senior Bowl are you guys most looking forward to seeing or reading about, hearing about over the course of the next week or so?
Well, I mean, it's going to be, to me, it's still going to have to be the quarterback position. I mean, I'm going to focus on that no matter what. Now, the problem always comes into who's going to show up and who's going to be there and who's accepting their invitation. So as we talk about this, you know, you look at the rosters, and we'll start with the North team. But I'm looking right now at the quarterback position. There's really the guy that I'm looking forward to probably the most is like Taj Boyd, because he's going to be there from Clemson. And I guess he's accepted his invitation to be there, so want to see him. I know some pretty good receivers, I think, are going to be there as well. The kid from who's the kid? I want to say it's a Big Ten school kid, Nathan.
Wide receiver?
Because the best receivers are underclassmen who are coming out, and
typically,
none of them are in this game.
Well, on the North team, you got Jared Aberderis from Wisconsin.
Yes.
That's the kid I'm thinking about. Yes.
Yep.
That's the one I want to look at, too.
Torched Ohio State.
Yep,
when they played
that's what
year.
I remember. So kind of those two guys, and I mentioned also on the North team, I mentioned Taj Boyd. Yeah, those would be that. That's mainly I'm gonna focus on those two positions, and those are two of the names that I want to see, and hopefully, and obviously Derek Carr, is accepted an invitation, so truly want to get a good look at him and see what he's all about. You heard a lot of early mention that he could be the man. He could really be a guy that mentioned in the upper tier of the draft. Then not so much after some disappointment late in the season and in bowl play. But Derek Carr would be – he had moments, Nathan, right, that were spectacular.
Absolutely, and I think that he could be there with the second first-round pick now. He was a guy a few – you know, prior to the bowl season, I think people talked about maybe going in the top 5 overall. He had been kind of a fast riser, and then that kind of knocked him down a peg. But the arm strength is there. Certainly interested to see how he holds up. And given that I believe the team is going to take a quarterback and a wide receiver somewhere early in this draft, I also want to see Taj Boyd, because if it ultimately comes down to it, that let's say this front office doesn't like the quarterback available to them at 4. Let's say they like Manziel and Bortles don't love Bridgewater. Manziel and Bortles go in the top 3, and Bridgewater's there, and they decide they don't like him. Maybe taking a guy like Sammy Watkins and then getting the quarterback later could be a Derek Carr, could be a Taj Boyd if they decide to go that way. So I'm interested to see them. Also, David Fales as well from San Jose State could be a late-round quarterback if they decide to take 2. Wide receiver I really want to look at, and I think people should look at as well, Jordan Matthews, 6'3", 206 from Vanderbilt. A couple mock drafts do have him going to the Browns late in the first round with that second first-round pick, so I'll be curious to keep an eye on him.
And a guy that I also want from Vanderbilt to look at offensive guard, Wesley Johnson. I've heard a lot of good things about him. 6'5", 295 is his listed height, weight. He's an intriguing prospect for a team that needs guard help. Smart player. I hear aggressive, physical, you know, always consistent with his effort. And, you know, look, we heard the name of James Franklin mentioned as a possible head coaching candidate here before he took the Penn State job. He is a guy that I think gets a lot of credit for bringing, developing, and one of the reasons why he got looked at by this team, and I think even some other teams had at least casual interest, is developing players that we just talked about, like, you know, Johnson, like Matthews, who have been players that will probably do well in the NFL.
Yes. So those are the people that I'm looking at.
Yep.
Number three.
Well, since this is sadly my last Friday forecast with you guys, I got to get your prediction. By the time all is said and done, who is going to be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
Wow. You can go first on that one, big guy.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is tough.
Really, I'm going to say that they will give it the old college try at Gase, that they will go and give as hard a full court press as they can. They won't end up with him, and I think that either the next head coach of the Browns will either be Dan Quinn or Mike Pettine.
I'm right there with you. I think this has all along been talked about as an offensive-minded candidate, and we rode that to the hilt, talked about that quite a bit. But I do think this team ultimately is going to end up with a defensive guy and be happy with it and feel that they've got the right leader of men. I think that's the biggest quality that will emerge from this. I think they like Gase as much for his ideas as anything else. To determine what kind of a leader of men he is, that's a little harder to do. He gets great endorsements for what he's done with the offense, and to be a guy who's praised by John Elway as much as John Elway praised him in Denver and is definitely trying to make a case to keep him there, and I think he thinks that's where it's leaning. And I don't think Adam Gase is going to make himself available to be a head coach here or anywhere this time around. I think next year's crop of openings, because there will be, they are every year, are going to be more appealing to him. So I think this team will move in the direction of Quinn first, and then Patton second. I think that's kind of how they've got it set up. This is my opinion. I'm not giving you
offense. I was going to say,
opinion.
We know nothing.
You guys are not reporting anything.
We are not reporting this. No.
I just asked for a prediction.
And it's a prediction opinion. That's how I think.
That's it.
I'll phrase it this way. It won't shock me if it goes down that way.
All right.
Number two.
First of the two conference championship games Sunday is the AFC championship game in Denver as the Broncos host the Patriots, dubbing it the War of 1812 with Mr. Manning and Mr. Brady. Gentlemen, who will win the AFC championship?
I'm going to say the Denver Broncos. I think the Patriots have the fighting chance to make this a competitive game, an interesting game, because of their ability to run the ball. LeGarrette Blount can run against that Denver defense and keep Manning off the field and his receivers off the field a significant amount of time. But I think ultimately they come back and make some big plays. I don't think the Pats will have the capability of stopping them.
I agree. I think Peyton Manning's going to open it up. I think when you think about the fact that Julius Thomas will play in this game, didn't play in the first, that gives them another vertical threat. Steve Gregory, I think, is a liability in coverage. Kyle Arrington in the slot is a liability in coverage. Alfonso Denard is a liability in coverage. Logan Ryan, the rookie's played well. Tlaib's good. McCourty's good. But too many weapons, I think, in Denver. And I think whereas last week they needed to slow it down and almost beat San Diego at their own game, which they did, this week they need to open it up, jailbreak it, try to build a big lead, lay the hammer down, and I don't think that the firepower in a pass, if they have to become one-dimensional, I'm not sure that New England, without Rob Gronkowski at this point, has the firepower to be able to do that.
And one other thing, the one thing that the Broncos can also do to help their cause is run the football. No Sean Marino.
37 carries, 224 yards, you know, in the first meeting.
And no Sean Marino, and I think they will find some, and Monte Ball as well, the two of them solid runners who I think can do what San Diego really wasn't able to effectively do against them. I should say the Colts weren't effectively able to do against the Patriots is what I meant.
Yep.
Number one.
And that'll bring us to the NFC Championship game. Just a great, great rivalry now. The Seahawks hosting the 49ers. Who will win the NFC title game?
I'm sticking with the 49ers. I've said it all along. I think they are the best team in the NFL right now, the most complete team with Michael Crabtree back on offense because they got Crabtree. They've got Bolden, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, and Kaepernick. They've got one of the best defenses, certainly up front. And Russell Wilson, that passing game is struggling. And he, to be fair to him, does not have the weapons that the other teams left do to throw the football to, and he's been struggling as a result, and I think that will be the difference. I think the 49ers take it. Now, this game could swing easily on a couple bounces of the ball, so that's something certainly to keep an eye on and pay attention to, but I think ultimately the Niners are the better team here.
I'm with you. I've been riding this Niner train right along. I think they're the best team in the league, and I think they ultimately come out and win the Super Bowl. If I think they can win it all, then I've got to believe they can win at Seattle. Tough place to play. And I'm not saying this on wishful thinking that it will make the Browns needle move for the head coaching job to a point where they have a guy available to hire in Dan Quinn. But it'll be an interesting test for Dan Quinn's defense, which is an outstanding defense, to try to see what it can do against this offense. But I don't think you can do enough. I think the Niners can beat you in so many ways. They're so physical, and they still and they have, to me, as good a quarterback as you can have in this tournament. And I say that without blasphemy toward Brady or Manning. I think Colin Kaepernick is playing outstanding football, smarter football than ever. He just looks like he's in the zone. He does.
All right, guys, that is your Friday forecast.
Outstanding.
All
right, we're going to talk with Todd Archer next from ESPN Dallas. We'll get some rundown from him on a guy named Rich Bisaccia, candidate for the Browns head coaching job. That's coming up on CBD.